We love you, Lord. We love you. And we just pray that you would bless every individual here today. Bless us and help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. Bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated, everyone.
Last week, if you were able to be with us at Black Diamond, we started talking about different ways that we get off course in our relationship with God. And a couple of the things that we mentioned were ignoring God's word, the sin that is within us, and those times when we rebel or run away from God. And we looked at one of the characters in the Bible, Jonah, because this is what Jonah did. We looked at chapter 1 last week, and in that chapter, even if you know the story of Jonah, it's one of those stories, it's just four little chapters, but there's so much packed into it. And the things that Jonah did are really reminiscent of many of the things that we do in our lives as well. See, we want God to speak to us, and then when he does, or if he does, sometimes we don't like what he says. And we're like, well, I would like a do-over, Lord. Can I have a different word instead? We want the word that doesn't necessarily challenge us. We want the word that confirms us. The word that tells us what we already think we believe instead of challenging what we believe. We also saw in chapter 1 that God will do anything to grab our attention. And in the case of Jonah, he sent a violent storm. And if you were at church, you saw I used a map. And on that map, God had told Jonah, basically, go over here where my hand is. And Jonah decided to go the exact opposite, as far opposite as you could possibly get. And as soon as he does that, and he jumps on a ship, God sent a violent storm. And eventually, it leads to the sailors on that ship throwing Jonah overboard. We also saw that sometimes God sends other people into our life, to speak truth to us in ways that maybe we weren't able to hear before. In the case of Jonah, he sent that group of sailors. They didn't know the Lord at all, and yet they were able to identify that what Jonah was doing was wrong. He was disobedient. He was doing the exact opposite of what God had wanted for him. God will do whatever it takes to break our inattention, because whether we want to admit it or not, we easily become inattentive to how God is at work, not just in his world, but in our lives at times. Sometimes when things are going really well, those are those times where it's harder to recognize that it's the Lord at work. Now, the good news for Jonah, and by extension for all of us as well, is that even if we are reluctant or disobedient, whenever we turn back to him, it's never too late to receive God's mercy. Once God has our attention, and we want him to get our attention, he will also provide exactly what we need most, even if it's what we don't want, if we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. You see, God wants us living in his presence because he knows it's the only way that we're going to consistently hear him, listen to him, and follow him. In other words, to listen and obey. When we meet God, we are never the same as before. And the cool thing about when you finally encounter God is that it actually can give you the trust and courage to respond to him in faith in ways that maybe you weren't aware of or comfortable with before. So this morning, let's look at the next part of Jonah's story, chapter 2. If you have a Bible or if you have it on your phone, you can pull up Jonah chapter 2. I'll do my best with the wind here. And I just want to start by reading actually the very verse that comes before chapter 2. Verse 17. Right after the sailors recognize that it's Jonah's fault that there's this storm. And they throw him overboard. And what the sailors are hoping will happen is that this will somehow appease Jonah's God. And guess what? It does in a way. It says the sea grew calm. And even those men who did not know the Lord gave offerings to the Lord. They made sacrifices in his honor. They had a certain reverence for God, even though they didn't know him personally. Verse 17 says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And I'll stop there, because there's a lot just in that first verse. We know that Jonah is in the water. If you've ever been out or fallen out of a boat, if you've been out on the open water, the open sea, and you're alone and adrift, if you don't have a life jacket, it is a pretty terrifying proposition. Even if the waters are calm, if there is nothing around you, it can be very scary. And this is the exact moment that we see God act in this story. God had sent the storm to shake him awake. He sent those sailors to speak the truth to him. And now God provides, but just not in an expected way. He provides this fish as the means for Jonah's safety. I don't know if anyone saw the viral video a couple days ago from, I think it was from the East Coast, of that small fishing boat. And there was this other boat with a couple of teens on it, and they were filming, and they caught this whale breaching, and it landed on the boat and actually capsized that boat. And those two kids that were there, they happened to be in the right place at the right time, and they were able to rescue those people right after their boat was completely swamped from that whale. That might be terrifying. If you've ever been up close to a whale, they can be both majestic but also pretty terrifying. Even if your life is threatened in the water, guess who's not afraid and threatened by the water? The fish. The fish is right at home in the water. The storm could be the worst storm in the world, and the fish is going to be completely comfortable knowing what's going on. Just before Jonah drowns, God sends that fish to swallow him. He provides that place where Jonah can actually respond to God. I think the reason that God sent that fish is because he knew exactly what Jonah needed. And what Jonah needed was time alone with his thoughts. Have you ever been alone with your thoughts? No distractions, no phone, no cell service. Have you ever been just you and your thoughts? It can be very scary, I know, for some of you. Some of you never like to be alone. You don't want to be alone ever. This is exactly what Jonah needed, because all of the voices in his life have been speaking a different message than what God wanted him to hear. And he had chosen to go the opposite way. God knew that Jonah needed time to face the truth of his disobedience. So he had 3 days and three nights. Anyone ever gone on a retreat just by yourself? I know you have. They have things called silent retreats, where you don't speak for a couple of days. Imagine it's you. Now, many of these retreats are at these wonderful places, these beautiful places. Now, imagine you were on a three-day retreat in the stomach of a whale. Not the most appetizing situation. And yet this is exact, and you're dark, and it's smelly, and you're alone. And it's just you and God.
It sounded like there was some symbolism between Jonah being in the whale 3 days and Jesus being in the grave.
You might be onto something. Keep on reading. If you've ever been in a scenario like that, alone with your thoughts, you know that it's a mixed bag. Sometimes you like the things that come up. Sometimes it's a moment where something happens and you feel closer to God. You're drawn closer to his presence. Maybe you feel loved and secure in that moment. And then there's other times where things bubble up to the surface, things that you haven't wanted to think about, thoughts and regrets and missteps. And sometimes all that noise gets so loud that we can't drown it out. And so we need to be in the belly of the fish in order to hear God. If your life is so noisy right now that you can't hear yourself think, then perhaps it is God trying to grab your attention. In the depths, what does Jonah do? He remembers God's faithfulness to him, and so he calls out to him, and God mercifully hears him. We know that God is loving and patient, and we would hope that he would be that with us and for us. But you can't outlast God. We might want to be disobedient, reluctant to listen, but we can't outlast God. We can't outrun God, and we certainly can't outsmart God. He's got all the time in the world, and he's way more patient than you and I are. He will keep trying to get through to you no matter how long it takes.
So the good news.
It is good news, because the question then is, where is God trying to meet you in your life? And if you sense a need to turn or return to him, then I would encourage you to find a place where you can really meet with God. And I guarantee you're not going to find it on your phone or on a screen. It's going to be you and God, and it's an intensely personal thing. What is that place for you? For some of you, it might be in a beautiful place like this, where you're out, you feel closer to God. For some of you, maybe it's digging into your Bible. Maybe it's with a particularly trusted friend of yours, where you can really go deep. Whatever that place is for you, just know that it's intensely personal between you and God. No one can tell you what that place is for you. Jonah discovered this over 3 days and three nights. And what exactly happened, we'll never know. Just like what happened to Jesus when he died, we don't know exactly what happened. And we may never know the specifics until he comes again. What we do know is how Jonah responded to the Lord. He reached out in honest prayer. Now, I know that some of you say, well, I'm not very good at praying. I don't know what to say. I don't know what God wants to hear. I think Jonah is a good model for us then. So if you struggle with how to speak to God, how to connect with him, then I would encourage you, look to his prayer for some guidance. Jonah is all alone. He doesn't have the Bible app on his phone to rely on. He doesn't maybe even have the right words. He's not sure what to say. But what he does know is he leans on what he's already learned, how God has already spoken. And his prayer, believe it or not, is full of language from Scripture. Almost every line in his prayer comes from the Psalms. I put it on the back of the song sheet, the last column. Every verse of his prayer has references to the Psalms or the prophets. His prayer is full of language because, just like the memory work that sometimes we do when we're memorizing certain Bible verses, that's how people still learned God's word back then as well. They heard it. They heard it over again. They internalized it. They embedded it deep in who they were so that in those times, especially when they needed it, they could rely and turn back to what they had already learned. When God has your attention, he looks for a response. Even if it's imperfect or clunky, it doesn't have to be beautifully poetic like the Psalms often are. And the good news is that even though we already have a wonderful vocabulary to rely on, the whole Bible, especially when the words escape us or we don't know what to say, there's even parts of the Bible that are easier to incorporate into our prayers, like the Psalms. So I want to just go verse by verse with this prayer because it's a very cool prayer. Verse 2. Hold on, there we go. Thank you, wind. Verse 2. Jonah said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. That's actually a reference from Psalm 18 and Psalm 120, where the psalm writer in those places writes that they called on the Lord in their time of distress. And when they call out to the Lord, what happens? He responds. Verse 3, he speaks a little bit of the truth. He says, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I put a couple of the references there from Psalm 42 and Psalm 88. He tells the truth of what's actually happened, that, yeah, he's been disobedient and God has put him somewhere where he doesn't want to be. You've put me in the lowest pit. I don't know anyone who wants to be in those places. We prefer to be in places where it's nice and light and we can see where we're going.
He thought he was going to die.
We don't want to be in the quicksand. We want to be free. In those moments, we might be able to say, God, I see and acknowledge your hand at work. Even if God is bringing something into your life that's not pleasant, he may be doing it so that you turn back to him or acknowledge his presence in your life. In verse 4, Jonah says, I have been banished from your sight. This is how he feels. He's telling God the truth of how he feels. And then he says, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. That's a reference to Psalm 31. You heard my cry for mercy. We might say something like, God, I turn my eyes upon you. Verse 5 comes from Psalm 69. It says, the engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Again, not a very great experience. And yet he's telling God the truth of how he feels. Like, if that was me, I would be panicking right now. The thought of seaweed wrapped around my head, pulling me down, close to drowning, not a great experience. I mean, seaweed is tasty, but not when it's wrapped around your head. In those moments when God indeed spares us, we can learn to say, I thank you for your mercy. Verse 6 says, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. He thought he was a goner. And now he's suddenly grateful that for some reason, even for a disobedient and wayward prophet, God says, I'm not done with you yet. And my friends, that's the same thing that God says to us. If we have ears to hear and eyes to see, there is hope, or we can hope. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. That's a reference from Psalm 77 and a few other psalms that I wrote down as well, where it says, my cry came before you. See, that's the cool thing about God. Like, all of the other gods, the little g gods that we know are not real, those prayers to those gods just went up like vapor into the air and were gone. But prayers to the Lord God actually reach ears that are listening and will respond. Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. In some ways, I think this is Jonah giving us a little dive into who he has become at this point. He's basically telling the truth of what's in his heart right now. He's choosing to repent in some way, although we'll learn in the future chapters that he still has issues going on. verse 9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, once he's become aware that God has actually saved him, this is how he responds. I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. That's probably a line, that's probably a verse that we all need to hear. What I have committed to the Lord, I will make good on. Because we can say the words, but if we don't follow it up with truth in our steps, then it doesn't mean very much. It's just empty words. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. That's a reference from Psalm 50, and in that psalm, it actually says, I will deliver you, this is what God says back, and you will honor me. So God promises to deliver, to save, to rescue, but he also says, you will honor me for that. He expects a certain response from us. So maybe today the thing to say is, God, I renew my commitment that I made to you, or that I am making to you. For Jonah, he wasn't really acting or thinking right until this moment. It took a big step. I hope that it doesn't take a big step for you or me. I hope that we don't have to be swallowed up by a whale and hang out in its stomach for 3 days. I hope we don't have to be whale vomit after the fact for God to get through to us. Hopefully it doesn't take that amount to get through. Somehow in the belly of the whale, God's word spoke truth to his heart in a way that made sense, and it actually gave him a way to turn back to respond to God. At the very beginning, what Jonah stumbled with was ignoring God's word, and ironically, in the midst of the whale, God's word is what he leans upon and helps sustain him. He comes to rely on it. The very word that he had ignored from the Lord now became the word that actually gave voice to the pain that he was feeling, the experience of disobedience, and all the things that were going on inside of him. That's why I think it's so important, my friends, that even if it's a verse a day, that we would work to embed God's word deep into our minds, our hearts, and souls. So that in both the highs, those joyful moments, we can praise God, and in those low, low moments, we can turn to the Word and cry out to God for help. His Word is a primary way that he speaks. It actually guides our thoughts. It can actually pierce our rebellious hearts with the saving power of God. What does the Bible say about how powerful the Word is? Sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you've ever held a two-edged sword, they're pretty sharp. The word of God is sharper than that. It can pierce through any resistance that we have. And it opens us up to see and hear and respond to the Lord in our day. Some of you might feel like you're in the belly of the fish today, metaphorically. I hope you're not really. And maybe God is waiting for you. The question is, how is he inviting you to respond to him in faith? How is he inviting you to respond in faith? What word or thought has the Spirit of God put into your heart and mind that is resonating deep within you today? Maybe it's resounding deep in your gut. It's a gut instinct, like a steady drumbeat, that word that you know that God is speaking to you, but that you've tried to ignore or failed to listen to up to this point. I'm pretty sure that could be the very Spirit of God calling out to you. And I hope that you know and will believe that in that moment God is present with you. He has not abandoned you. He's not done with you. In fact, he invites you to join him in what he's doing here in his world. He wants us to be his partners in this. His mercy is not too small. In fact, it's expansive beyond measure and available for everyone. Even if you are at the bottom, God is still there. Why? Because that's who God is. His love is unending. His mercy unfailing. And his grace all surpassing. I put one question on the song sheet today, and perhaps that's a question that's very personal for you in God, something that you want to reflect on, or I know some of you like journaling, or you like writing things out in different ways. How is the Lord inviting you to respond in faith? What word is he speaking to you in this season of your life? What have you left undone that God is inviting you to finish or jump back into? I'm going to close with that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, I thank you for the ways that you are persistent with us. You know exactly how we are resistant. And I pray that for each of us here today, that you would give us the courage to listen to that word that you're speaking, to take the courage to take that one step, whatever that step may be. I pray that you would continue to speak your truth. And if we're having trouble receiving it, if you're having trouble getting through to us, God, I pray that you will send someone else into our lives who can speak truth to us in perhaps a surprising or unexpected way, so that ultimately we can return to you and draw closer to you. God, I'm very encouraged that you never give up on us, that you love us so much that you want us close. God, as we prepare to close our time here this morning, I pray that you would guide each of us in the week to come, that we would continue to be able to respond to you not only in these moments here, but in all of those moments throughout our week to come, because your love is indeed unfailing. Even for a disobedient prophet like Jonah. Amen.
Amen.
I want to close with just that verse from Psalm 50. It says, "Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. And call on me in the day of trouble." And this is God's promise. "I will deliver you, and you will honor me." So let's give thanks to God. May God fill you with joy and peace as you go. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit this week. And in the name of Jesus Christ, go in peace. Amen,
amen.
And amen. Church, I hope you have a wonderful week.